LASIK Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Crazy Weather Monday. That's what we're feeling. But also, it is January 6th, one of the most, I don't know if it's a popular date in U.S. history. It's very well known, I guess we could say that. We are going to talk about January 6th today, of course, as today is the day. And we're also going to talk about the latest updates coming out of the New Orleans terrorist attack. And then we've got more updates coming out of the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas in front of the Trump Hotel. So we'll talk about those. I think the biggest story in Maryland today is the fact that many property owners are bracing for increases in property taxes. Of course, Gary Collins with Fox 45 had the story. We're going to talk about that around 10 o'clock. There were a lot of people weighing in online, as expected. And so I want to make sure you guys know now that I do want you to weigh in on how you feel about all this. As the guys mentioned in the morning drive, this is really going to affect those on a fixed income. I know there are a lot of people that, you know, when they go to retire, if they worked very hard, they end up usually sometimes purchasing rental property, right? And that's kind of like their income coming in as they sit back and relax and enjoy their retirement. Well, guess what? A lot of people are now rethinking what they're going to do with these properties that they have been renting. I know a lot of people got into the Airbnb business. There's a lot that's going to happen and a lot of fallout from this. So, again, we're going to talk about that around 10 o'clock. Go ahead and write down the phone number, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, because I want you to call in and weigh in on that topic. Also, there is a state, a blue state, of course, that is easing back on requirements for teachers. Can you take a guess on which state this is? Well, I'll just let you know now that in this state, of course, very blue, because otherwise a red state would never do such a thing. They're basically saying teachers do not have to pass basic reading and writing tests. I guess it's asking too much, right? I mean, God forbid the person that teaches your child actually passes a test themselves. So we're going to talk about that around 10:30, because once it's done in some blue states, you know, it usually makes its way to Maryland. So I just want to make sure that we've got our guard up on that one. Also, on Friday, we were talking to Latoya Cagola. She was here in studio for that vacant seat in District 31. Well, guess what? I kept my word. On Friday night, I did go to Anne Arundel County. I did go to watch and see what the Anne Arundel County GOP Central Committee was deciding to do about that seat. And Latoya, you're going to love this, Latoya won. Latoya Cagola won the seat. She's going to join us at 11 o'clock because we're going to talk to her now about what happens at this point, right? Because, of course, this still has to go to Governor Westmore's desk. It still has to be signed. You know, she was able to get through. There were three candidates altogether. I was able to, like I said, I was there and saw all three candidates. And I have to say, as the Central Committee pointed out, all three candidates were great. They're great. We have a lot of great people within the Republican Party in the state of Maryland. I know that we're still in the minority, but we really do have a lot of great people with great heads on their shoulders. So we'll talk to Latoya at 11. And then also, we're going to talk about the shooting that happened in Aberdeen over the weekend. And Speaker Johnson, he was confirmed. Remember, I thought it was going to go more than one round? Well, it went just one round with a little bit of an extra inning. But we're going to talk about what this means moving forward. Again, getting back to the big topic of the day, January 6th. January 6th hits different, I say, in 2025. And I say it hits differently because when January 6th first occurred, remember, there was this total meltdown. Everybody was outraged. As I said at the time, I did not condone anything that I saw. When I saw people scaling the Capitol, I myself was very nervous about that. And I think I told you guys during everything that I watched, because I watched it at home on television. I was in D.C. on January 5th for an event. And then I was home on January 6th, but I was going to go down for the Trump rally on January 6th. And I think I told you guys that morning I received a text message from a friend of mine that is a Capitol Hill police officer. And he said, you know, I just don't have a good feeling about this day. And so if you can stay home today, stay home today. Now, I had many people that worked on my campaign in 2020. They went down. Many friends went down to the Capitol, not the Capitol itself, but to the rally. And I think that's usually the truth that gets lost in all of this conversation that, you know, the mainstream media has about January 6th is that there was a rally, right? That Trump spoke at a rally that was not actually at the Capitol. And so many people that were in D.C. on January 6th, they were at the rally, right? There were buses that went down. Many people went to go see President Trump speak, as many people do when Trump hosts a rally, right? Thousands upon thousands of people show up to see Trump speak all over the country. And that's what happened in D.C. that day. Well, there were some that decided to go towards the Capitol. Not everybody went inside. Again, this is the conversation that's usually lost with all this. Not everybody even went inside the Capitol. There were a lot of people outside of the Capitol. Some people went inside the Capitol to get video footage of those that were going in the Capitol. Those people that had a video recording of what transpired right inside the Capitol doors, they were also arrested. They were also arrested. One of those being Derek Evans out of West Virginia. And you might know the name because I know he's been on with me. He's been on with the guys at the Morning Drive. And he also ran for Congress in West Virginia. The last time around, I know in District 1, he was trying to unseat an incumbent. She's also a Republican. She's not America First. She's establishment. He did not win in that primary, but he did come very close. I hope that he runs again. I guess we'll see what happens. But everybody's looking at this situation and thinking about people like Derek Evans or Jake Lang or those that were nonviolent on January 6th. And they're wondering, is President Trump going to pardon those individuals? Now, there's a lot of word on the street, a lot of rumor that he will. But if you heard Sean Casey this morning, apparently we're going to hear some audio here tomorrow on WCBM because they're hosting this huge press conference in D.C. today. And so we'll hear more about what's happening. So please tune into the Morning Drive tomorrow. I know I'll be listening. So please tune in and we'll talk about it. We'll discuss what we hear because this is a big deal. It is a big deal. And I mentioned Jake Lang a lot only because of course I had him on the show. When all of this was taking place, I met his fiance. I actually saw her not too long ago again. I guess that was maybe a year ago at this point. But she was down in D.C. right outside of the White House at, is it Joe's Seafood? Yes, Joe's Seafood is the name of that restaurant. And I was there meeting with Congressman Wesley Hunt and some others. But then I saw her. She came up and she was like, "Kim." And so we were able to talk about what was going on with Jake at that time. And, just so you know, there were people like Jake, even though we have the right to a speedy trial here in America, that's what we're told. There are people like Jake that did not have that right, okay? That right was actually taken from them. So when you hear people talking about, "Oh, we're going to lose our rights under President Trump," please, if you could, just remind them of the rights that were taken from those that were in D.C. on January 6th of 2021. Their rights were, in fact, taken away. They did not have the right to a fair and speedy trial. And many of them did not see the judge for quite some time, even afterwards. We saw where the FBI, apparently they do have good detectives over there and they do great detective work, because we saw how they tracked down every individual that had a cell phone near the Capitol. They can track that down just fine, okay? There's no problems there for the FBI. No problems at all. They just have problems in other situations. When somebody's radicalized by ISIS and they decide to mow 14 people down with a rented pickup truck, that part they got issues with, okay? But when it comes to school board meetings, when it comes to who was near the Capitol on January 6th, they didn't have that down on pack, right? Because they know for sure they can get that information and they follow it. And that was a big deal. Remember, there were even billboards that were up across Baltimore City. With pictures of those that were involved on January 6th. And I thought that was interesting. I'm like, wow. So Mayor Brandon Scott, he'll post the pictures of those that were in D.C. on January 6th. But when it comes to all of the crime and violence in Baltimore City, you would think that you would shame some of the people, the repeat mild offenders, by putting them up on a billboard. No. No. You can actually carjack somebody 11 times and still not end up on a billboard. But if you were near the Capitol on January 6th, you'll end up on a billboard in Baltimore City. You might not even be from Baltimore City. You probably aren't even from Maryland. You will still end up on a billboard in Baltimore City in relation to January 6th. It's interesting how that works, doesn't it? Very interesting. Well, of course, everybody's going to be paying attention. Everyone's watching. Will President Trump end up pardoning these individuals? We're going to learn a heck of a lot more about this tomorrow once we hear the audio that we get from that press conference in D.C. today. So, again, tune into the morning drive so that we can all chat about it after the fact. You know, I do wonder if Congress is going to do some investigation into the J6 committee. And I say that because there were obvious lies that were told under oath, mind you. And there were obviously people that were colluding, I guess you could say. They were coordinating on their responses and what they wanted to say during those committee hearings. My only thing about it is I personally, I don't want to spend any more money on this. I want the nonviolent people that were, you know, basically persecuted because of January 6th. I want those people to be pardoned. And I do want many of those people, if they did somehow commit a crime, whether it's, you know, put their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk or what have you, I would rather them be released with time served. Now, there's many people that, again, are still behind bars. Even little old grandmothers are still behind bars. We did not hear much when it comes to Ashley Babbitt and, of course, her death as well. Hopefully we'll hear more about that. But we'll keep our eyes open on all of this. We'll keep our eyes peeled because at the end of the day, there are many people that did not receive the rights that they were afforded as American citizens, and they need to rectify that situation. So we'll talk about more of that when we get back. All right. Good morning. You're in the Maryland area, I guess you could say, because it's not just happening in Maryland. There are other states that are affected by this crazy weather Monday. Oh, the snow. You know how much I hate the snow. If you've ever listened to me, ever. You know, I hate cold weather and I hate the snow. Yet I've lived only in the Northeast my entire life. I will say, in case you didn't know this, and I know many people don't know this because I even saw my Wikipedia said that I'm from Ghana somehow. I'm actually from Concord, Massachusetts. not Africa, believe it or not. Concord, Massachusetts. And so, of course, we used to get snow up there. And then my dad, working for IBM, somehow we ended up in Buffalo, New York. You can imagine the snowstorms there. So coming down here to Maryland, I'm used to more, I guess you could say, but at the same time, I'm not used to, well, I guess I'm used to it now because I've been in Maryland so long, but, you know, they close the schools, they close everything, right? State government, city government, they close it so quickly, so quickly. I remember going to school in Buffalo, and of course, at this point, many schools right down the street, you would walk to school. I went to school 80. Elementary school, and I used to take care of my little brother. And I tease my daughter, Olivia, all the time because she's now 8. Like at 8 years old, right now, she's like, you know, watching a tablet, still calling mommy's name every 5 minutes. Sometimes now I do ignore her. Like if I know that she could figure it out and do it on her own, and she's really getting upset about this, you know, phase of her life, I ignore her because I know you could do it. You don't need mommy, okay? We got to get a little independence going here. But, you know, when I was 8 years old, believe it or not, both my parents were latchkey kids. Both my parents worked. They left the house very early. They didn't get home till very late. And I have a little brother. We're all 2 years apart. I'm the middle child. And my older brother, I think I told you guys, he went to a special school because he was like, his IQ was like off the charts. So that's what they told us. But he went to a special school across town. So in the morning, my mom would leave. My dad would already be gone. My mom would leave, and she would take my older brother to this special school. So myself at 8 in the second grade, I'll never forget this, I had to make sure I got myself and then my brother to school, right? He was at the preschool. Well, it was 2 blocks away, school 80, from our house. And there was one morning where it was like a foot of snow outside. And so in Buffalo, it takes a lot more than that to cancel school. So I'll never forget this. Me and my friend Cherie, she lived across the street, with my little brother, we actually, there were some areas where we had to pick him up and throw him over like the, like in, over like big mounds of snow because he couldn't get through it. He was so little. That's what I was doing at 8 years old. So now when my daughter calls me to open up a toy, I ignore her. I said, no. You know what I was doing at 8 years old? I was getting us up, dressed for school, got to school, then picked him up from preschool, got home, got his after school snacks, took out my homework, and waited for my mom and dad to get home. I did all of these things on my own. I had my own house key. I knew how to cross the street. So I know I'm going off on a tangent right here, but it kills me how kids are today. And I'm guilty as one of those parents you know, has allowed my kid not to be as independent as she could possibly be. So, yeah, now we're going through this phase where I just ignore some of the stuff she says. Yeah, that was a 1950s thing. Thank you, Brian. It was a different time. It was a different time. All right, we are talking about January 6th. That is how we are opening up the show today. I got my friend Kurt. Kurt in Edgewater, did you want to weigh in on J6?
Sure do. The Star Chamber, Washington, D.C., they lock up Republicans, and at the same time, they make Black Lives Matter way for the Democrats that riot. Just a joke down. It's a joke. There's no law. There's one set of laws for Republicans. There's one set of laws for far left Democrats, and it's a joke. And the city is a joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely, Kurt. And so that's why I think it's going to be interesting. You know, the question of the day. I'm going to ask you here, Kurt. The poll question of the day. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election?
Probably. I mean, it's ridiculous, but they probably will because they're ridiculous.
Yeah. And so some people are wondering, is that going to be the case? Well, Kurt, thank you so much, and stay safe out there if you're outside.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And that is the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. It is up on WCBM.com. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? So I'm going to go ahead and answer myself. I say no. Because they're trying to keep this, image of not being quote unquote election deniers, which I still hate that term, right? We didn't deny that the election happened. Okay, that's not what we denied. It absolutely happened. But that's what they still labeled many of us. But that is the question today. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? Go to WCBM.com and make sure you take part in that poll. If you want to call in and give a response, 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. If you want to talk about January 6th at all, I do want you to call in. Do you think that President Trump's going to pardon these individuals? Do you think he's going to do it on day one? Some people are saying that he will do it on day one. So we'll talk about that. And also coming up next, the Presidential Medal of Freedom went out to some very elite people. I've got the list for you. All right. Happy Monday. Gosh, oh gosh, it's a snowy morning. I'm not complaining about the snow. Yes, I am. I'm complaining about the snow. Yes, I am. I absolutely hate the snow. I hate snow. I hate cold weather. Like, you know, if I was to think about my personality this time of year, you could probably call me the Grinch. That is me. Okay? That is totally me. This morning, as I told the guys at Morning Drive, I knew that I would have to wake up early. So I went to bed early so I could wake up early to get shoveling the snow because, of course, I park in my garage and I want to make sure that I can come down my driveway. The interesting part about it, I had no problem really getting out of my neighborhood. But whoever's job it was to clear Middle River Road, Compass Road, I wasn't really expecting that to be clear, to be honest with you. It's more of a side street. But even Pulaski Highway going at Philadelphia Road, Pulaski Highway, Middle River and Rosedale area, whose job was that one? Whose job was that one? I'm not saying that, you know, you need to be reprimanded, but I'm just saying, do you see where you might have made mistakes? Have you seen the rest of the county? I don't know what you were doing this morning, but you weren't out there shoveling and plowing. That's what I do know. I don't know who the supervisor was, but yeah, that was not a great thing. So anyways, I was trying to take Olivia to her, I guess you could say it's her nanny, because she's had her since she was about, 6 months, I guess, at this point. Well, anyways, I was trying to take her, which she's not too far from me, but many cars, including my SUV, we couldn't get up the hill. If you're familiar with the area, there's, you know, you've got Middle River Road. On one side, you've got Pulaski Highway, the diner. On the other side, you've got that new Royal Farms, where there's that hill that goes up. And you try to take that over to Philadelphia Road, because her nanny's on the other side of that. Not just me. There were other cars that went up to the top of the hill and slid right back down. So, of course, you know, I'm at the bottom of the hill, and I'm watching other cars slide back down. I'm like, all right, Olivia, looks like you're going to work with Mommy today. So I just threw that bad boy in reverse and then just kind of cut the corner there on Pulaski Highway, took Pulaski Highway up. The crazy part about it, this is why I mentioned it, at 7:30, around 7:30, as we were up on Pulaski Highway, right there at that little intersection, the ramp that goes on to 695, like by the Longhorn and Sam's Club and all that, that was a mess. It was a total mess. There were police officers sitting at the top of that hill, basically like saying, don't even try it. right? So then we had to cut across, go over to Rossville to get on 695. Look, I'm not saying that you're bad at your job. What I'm saying is there might be different methods that could be used next time. Okay? Because I come over to this side of the town, Reisterstown Road, all of this here, fine and clear. Fine and dandy. Now, of course, I think we might have had a heavier fall over there in Middle River. But still, man, oh, man. Come on, guys. Anyways, if you are out there right now, just be careful. Drive slowly, okay? Your boss will understand if you're somewhat late. They will understand. They would rather you be late than get into an accident and not come to work at all right? So please, drive slowly, drive carefully, and just think of others on the road, not just yourself. That's all I ask. All right, we're talking about January 6th because it is January 6th. And, of course, there is a lot of people chattering about whether or not President Trump will end up pardoning those that were nonviolent on January 6th. Some people were asking if there's going to be an investigation into the J6 committee. I understand that people are upset about how all that transpired. I am too. There are many people that believe that there were feds that were involved on January 6th. I got to be honest with you. I believe that as well. Do I think that we could prove it? I don't know. I really don't know. Even with Trump's DOJ, I don't know. I don't know what we'll be looking at there. You know what I did remember or recall, I should say, from the first Trump administration is that he still had people that were working for him. And in some of these agencies that absolutely hated him. And you could tell by some of the things that were, you know, going on behind the scenes. And so, you know, that's the thing. You'll have people, I'm sure, even in this administration that will pretend to be so pro-Trump and so America First, and they're really just anti. And that's their way of being, in the mix so that they can, you know, cause chaos from within. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that we've gotten a little bit smarter on who we trust in some of these situations, but you just never know, unfortunately. Before we get into those that accepted the Presidential Medal of Freedom over the weekend from President Joe Biden, and it goes into this because Liz Cheney, who was, you know, on the J6 committee, she was one of those individuals that received the medal. Again, I don't know why they received the medal, some of these people. We'll go over that in a second. I did want to go to the phones because I've got someone that wants to weigh in on January 6th. Terrell and Oaks Mills. Good morning, Terrell. How are you?
I'm fine. Happy New Year, Kim.
Happy New Year to you.
To Olivia, too.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Donald Trump lost by 7 million votes, okay? Mike Pence went there to certify the election. And the main reason why he certified the election is because of Al Gore, okay? He saw Al Gore lose by 500 votes. And so, you know, Mike Pence. But what got me was that Donald Trump came out and started to blame Antifa, okay? Then he made it a racial thing, okay? And that's what I did not like. He didn't have to make it a racial thing because it was not Antifa. Lindsey Graham had told him that it wasn't Antifa. McCarthy told him that, Donald Trump, these are your people. Because I'll put it like this. You remember the Million Man March, Kim?
Yes, I do.
Okay. During the Million Man March, I heard people on C-SPAN. It was an old white lady that called the C-SPAN and said, oh, I'm terrified. I'm terrified. I'm scared because she saw all these black faces, you know. And, it's just a shame that, you know, it has to be on a racial thing. You know, Kim, I had a contractor in my home the other day, okay. He gave me an estimate on the bathroom. And I was listening to you. And he says, oh, you listen to Kim? I says, yes, I do. It's a white gentleman named Sean. And you got some, and he's a, and he worked for a plumbing company, Home Improvement of the Bath. And he liked you, Kim. I like you, Kim. You know, it doesn't have to be racial all the time. And you know what I told, you know what he, I said, I listened to that. He said, and at the end of our estimation, I told him, I said, look, I'm Terrell from Owens Mills. You know, he put his hand out and said, hey, man, it's nice to meet you. You know, it's good to meet you. So, Kim, you know I have some listeners there in the WCBM family that do like me.
I like you too, Terrell. I think it's great that you call in because we don't get the other perspective unless you call us.
Well, I don't know about that. Yes, you do. You do. But you got people like Joe and Theodore.
Yeah.
And another guy they used to call it all the time. He was an Army veteran. Oh my God, not Fred. Oh my God, but I'll remember it next time, and I'll tell you his name next time.
Okay.
But the thing of it is that Kim, you know, you talk about going to school. You know, kids going to school in the morning, and I thought about Olivia, and I also thought about this young black girl down in the South going to school, where she had to go through a gauntlet of racist people, where they spat on her, and just that, all for trying to go to school.
But, okay, Terrell, I will say this, and I think this is where we differ a lot. You know, and maybe because we grew up in different times, I don't think about race as much as you do.
We're still in the same time, Kim.
I was born, there was a little more racial division, which I cannot relate to because I wasn't there. But I think you might have seen it yourself.
You know what, Kim? But Donald Trump brought it out when he said that this was Antifa. Now, Kim, you saw.
Well, wait a minute. Is Antifa black? Who? I thought Antifa. Wait a minute. What?
No. Well, Kim, you know when you think of Antifa, do you think of black?
No, I think about those guys like the out of Seattle, like the crazy, those that occupy different areas. I guess I don't look at color with that one either. I look at those that just want to be, you know, contrarians. They want to be rebels against the system, but they don't really know what they want, right? They never have a list of demands. They never tell us what they're looking for. They just want to disrupt and chaos. You know, that's what I see when I think of Antifa.
Well, Kim, it was a black man at one of Donald Trump's rallies, okay? He was a disruptor, okay? So Donald Trump had his boys escort him out. And as that black man was going out there peacefully, being escorted out, a white gentleman got up and hit him in the daggone face. You know, and you know what they did to that black man, Kim?
What's
Don't you know, when they arrested him and put his hands behind his back and put him face down on the ground.
I don't know about any of those cases, but there's more to life than skin color. And I wonder if you're going to be able to experience life like I have in a way where, you know, I don't think of skin color first. That's not where my mind goes. Like you mentioned my daughter, Olivia, you know, she's half black, half Ukrainian. So we don't have these race discussions.
And so is my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is full German and they've been married for 30 years.
So you don't think that that's just it's a bit much at this point in 2025 to keep talking about race? You don't feel that way?
Kim, I don't want to talk about race. I don't want to talk about
Terrell,
race.
That's all you call me and talk about.
No, that's not what I... Donald Trump made it a racial thing when he talked about Antifa. Antifa represent, as he was said, Antifa represent black people.
I don't see that at all. I don't know if I would equate Antifa and black people. I really wouldn't.
Well,
I think of like in Seattle, Oregon. What's that?
What was Antifa all about?
To be disruptors against the system.
Antifa
does not like government. They don't like anybody, really.
No, Antifa was all about George Floyd. That's what I was trying to tell you.
Oh, you're talking about Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Oh, that's where this is getting confusing. I see now, Terrell.
Okay, I see. Okay, Black Lives Matter, Kim. Do you understand?
Now I see what you're saying. Okay, well, I did not hear Trump say that on January 6th. If you did, that's fine. Look, President Trump has been cleared for January 6th. Biden's DOJ found absolutely nothing. Jack Smith, he had so much time to find something, he couldn't find anything. It's time to move on from January 6th and really start with unifying the country. Yeah, absolutely.
No, Kim, but why are we talking about it today? We should have been.
It's because it's January 6th. And we're trying to see if he's going to pardon those individuals.
Okay. All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
All right. See you. Thanks, Terrell. I mean, so now I understand. Because when I heard Antifa, I said, wait a minute, what? That's Oregon. It's Seattle. But he was talking about Black Lives Matter. Now it's all making sense. But I did not hear President Trump mention Black Lives Matter in regards to January 6th. I could be totally wrong on that. But I must have missed that part. Of that. I will say this, though. Again, the question of the day is up on WCBM, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Go to WCBM.com. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? Because, you know, that is going to happen today. Supposedly, did you guys hear the note that came out of Capitol Hill this morning? Well, apparently there were many members of Congress that were warned. They were already told, if you go home, if you leave town, be back by Sunday night. That's what they were told. because they have to certify the election today. Well, apparently there were some that didn't get back in town. So we're going to have to even see how many members show up and how many members are still trying to get into D.C. because of the snowstorm. I did see you got Congressman Byron Donalds. There are other people that have already checked in to let people know that they are, in fact, in D.C. But it's, will you have some disruptors in the Democrat Party about this? I said before, I don't think they will, because they're trying to have like this, you know, oh, well, we respect the election and the integrity and our democracy. And so I don't think they will. But that is the question of the day. Go to WCBO.com and participate in that poll. Again, I wanted to tell you about those that received this this honor over the weekend. You had individuals that received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Now, I'm going to read you this list here for a second, because I went through the list time and time again, and I couldn't understand why these people were receiving this Medal of Honor. Jose Andres Bono, Ashton Baldwin Carter, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Did you know she received that medal, Brian, the producer? Yes. She had a nice little pantsuit on. She was excited about it. I will say, Hillary actually, she looked great. She really did. Her makeup was done well. Her hair, I really did like her pantsuit. Michael J. Fox was there. He received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Tim Gill, Jane Goodell, Fannie Lou Hamer, and you've got Irvin Magic Johnson. That was interesting for me. Why was Magic Johnson getting the Medal of Freedom? Did anybody catch what? Because I didn't see any notes on why these people received this honor. Of course, Robert Francis Kennedy. You've got Ralph Lauren. I saw him receive his medal. Now, Lionel Messi, the soccer player, he actually did not come to the ceremony. There were some notes going around. It was hard to understand what the truth was because he didn't have a statement himself. There wasn't a specific statement that came out of his camp. But many people were saying that he just was not a Biden fan. I can't prove that, and I can't disprove it. You've got William Sanford. You've got George Romney. David Rubenstein. You recognize that name? Yes, he's now the owner of the Orioles. Brian, why did he get the Presidential Medal of Freedom? You don't know either? Look, buying the Orioles is a big deal, all right? All right, George Soros, Open Society Foundation. This guy, he's kind of like the devil on earth, and I'm not shocked that he received the honor. I guess, you know, Democrats are being open about it now. They're being very open about it. Yes, we support George Soros. Yes, he's donated to many of those that have gotten into office and destroyed the office, kind of like Marilyn Mosby here in Baltimore City. But he received it. George Stevens Jr., Denzel Washington was there. A lot of people confused because Denzel is pretty conservative. But Denzel is one of those guys where if he's invited somewhere, he's going to go and he's going to smile and he's going to shake hands. That's just, you know, he's a class act. And then Anna Wintour, she's a fashion designer. I don't know why she received one either. I don't know. I don't even know why Denzel received one. I don't know. Okay. But at this ceremony, President Joe Biden did snap at a reporter. We get back. I want to play the sound for you because, you know, it's almost like he's clocked out, right? He's just like, oh, I'm out of here anyways. So when we get back, we'll talk about some of these recipients. We'll talk about Open Society and their involvement in Baltimore City. And then we will talk about just some of those that received the award. And again, I just don't know why they did. Coming up next. All right. It's a snowy Monday. You have off. Lucky you. If you don't have off and you're going to work, just be safe and be careful out there. It looks like the snow is about to pick up here in a couple minutes. And it looks like it's going to pick up for another 30 to 40 minutes. So if you are in the Baltimore region, just take note of that. Again, if you're on the road, just go slow. Be mindful of others, you know, be mindful of others. The question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate is up on the website right now. Go to WCBM.com and take part. The question is, do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? Now, of course, you know, you only have a yes or no for the response here. But you've got 56% of you already have said yes, where 44% say no. And I'm in the no camp. But like often, I could be wrong. I just don't think that they're going to try it because then they're going to look like election deniers, as they say. And I don't think they want to look like that, right? They're going to act like they're so above it. They're so elite. They're so elite, those guys. We were talking about the Presidential Medal of Freedom. There were lots of people that received it. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I also have a clip here of Joe Biden snapping at a reporter. Now, this is when he was at this award ceremony. Maybe it was a long day and his blood sugar got low. That's the only thing I can think, because I don't know why he's getting snappy. But take a listen to this interaction.
By being the oldest president, I know more world leaders than any one of you ever met in your whole goddamn life.
Yeah, that was Joe Biden. Now, of course, the reporter, I mean, they were just asking questions about those that, you know, received the award. Why did they receive the award? I got some text coming in the text line here. Don't forget, you can always text me through the WCBM app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, make it a part of your New Year's resolution. Go to the App Store. It is free in the App Store. Texter says, Kim, Hillary received the Medal of Freedom for her role in killing Jeffrey Epstein. That could be. That's a possibility. You know, I don't know why so many people were on the list. Like I said, George Soros being on this list really rubbed me the wrong way. Like Liz Cheney, yeah, I think she was ridiculous in the J6 committee hearings. A lot of people were already wondering whether or not Biden's going to have to pardon her in case this is investigated. He has not done it as of yet, so I don't think he will. But she doesn't, you know, she doesn't bother me as much. She lost her seat. Like, go home, go away. But this whole thing with George Soros and open society, they've done a lot of damage to this country. We're going to talk about that when we get back. And, of course, the big topic of the day, property taxes going up in the state of Maryland.
Kim Plasek Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Happy snowy Monday to you. Yes, it is snowing outside. If you're just waking up, lucky you. I would say don't even get out of bed. Just, you know, listen to the Kim Plasek Live show right there in bed. And look, I know you have options, so thank you so much for tuning in. But if you're on the road, please drive carefully and don't go too fast. The big question of the day, it's already up on WCBM.com. The poll question is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? So far, 67% of you said yes. 33% of you say no. As I mentioned earlier, I am in the no column. I don't think that they're going to do it. But guess what? I've been wrong many, many times before. We were talking about the snowplows. Marty in the text line said to me, you know, Kim, Pulaski Highway and Middle River Road is actually the state's property, not the county's property. And Ron Baring in Baltimore says, Kim, if I'm thinking of the right area, isn't there a giant salt pyramid up on the street from Costco on 40 West? How is Middle River not the first area plowed? Yes, it's right there. It's right there in the parking lot with Sam's Club and Walmart. It's literally right there, Ron. I know. And there were cops sitting at the top of that hill around 7:30 this morning because it was such a mess. Basically saying, don't come up here. I know. Look. Am I shocked that it's state? No. This is what we want government to do, right? Basic government functions like this. Get the snow plowed, pick up the trash, take up the recycling. Like, these are the things that we expect them to do. Yet they're so focused on, like, you know, sexually explicit books in schools. It's wild to me that they don't do basic government functions well, but they've got so much time for all these other side projects. But we're not going to go down that road because today is January 6th. So we're talking about January 6th. We did get a call from our friend Terrell at Owings Mills. I don't know how he comes up with race. I got a text here from Susan in Westminster. She says that Terrell talks about race a lot. He really does. There's more to life than that. And I do like Terrell. Terrell knows that I like him. I like really everybody that calls the show. And I try to understand those that are on the other side. Sometimes it doesn't make much sense to me. But I don't remember hearing President Trump blaming January 6th or the Capitol riots on Black Lives Matter. But that's what he inserted. I must have missed all of that, even though I thought I was pretty engaged. But I must have missed that. But he did call in, and I got my friend Jeff in Pasadena. Jeff, did you want to respond to the call?
Yes, I did, Kim. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I want to give a shout-out to Barbara and Beverly. Okay, I want to respond to something to Terrell, but first, real quick, also happy global warming. I don't know if the Trump-hating liberal listeners to this show and out there know that the past nine years, according to NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the planet has actually been in a cooling cycle 8 of the past 9 years. And you got Wes Moore and Gavin Newsom who want to ban gasoline-powered vehicles and have everybody driving electric vehicles. So, Kim, get out there and trade in your SUV and get an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
As far as Terrell, if I heard him right, it sounds like he thinks the Black Lives Matter movement started with George Floyd. Now, there was actually something that happened before George Floyd, which is where the Black Lives Matter movement started. Do you know
right.
what that was?
2013, was it Trayvon Martin?
No, it was Michael Brown being
Michael
shot
Brown.
In
okay.
Ferguson after he attacked a white police officer and tried to take the gun from the police officer. That's where the Black Lives Matter movement started. Now, the interesting thing about that is it's all a big lie. Kim, I think we all know whenever there's a police-involved altercation, especially involving a black person, what is the first thing people do, people that are standing around watching? What's the first thing they do?
They whip up their phones to record
it. That's right, and start recording it. Now, you had some people out there saying he was shot in the back. You had some people saying he was shot with his hands up in the air. So right there, you knew it was a lie. But here's the interesting thing I would put out there to Terrell and the Trump-hating liberals. How come not one person came forward with cell phone video showing him being shot in the back or showing him being shot with his hands up in the air?
Well, yeah, because apparently they didn't whip out their phones at that time, Jeff.
Well, because it was all a big lie. That's
yeah.
not how it went down. He wasn't shot in the back. He wasn't shot with his hands up in the air. If that had happened, you would have had people showing it on their cell phones, you know, recording it. So the whole Black Lives Matter thing was started on a big lie.
Yeah.
Have a good day, Kim. And remember, we got to do something about global warming.
Yeah, of course. Of course, Jeff, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week. You know, global warming, global cooling, is that what it was back in the 70s? They have no idea what's going on with the climate change, but they still want to make money off of it. So they just, you know, now that they don't say cooling or warming, they just say change. Because they can't really identify what's going on. We are talking about a couple different things. Even the Presidential Medal of Freedom that Joe Biden gave out to some very elite individuals over the weekend. Tom and Owings Mills. Tom, you wanted to weigh in on that?
Yeah, let me just say that Terrell is the perfect example of this saying that when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But, yeah, on the award, the logic of Biden's awards is such, I'm surprised he hasn't given out an award to the poor, unfortunate, Army guy, Green Beret, who blew up his Tesla in Las Vegas. And this is my reasoning. The sponsor of the Nobel Peace Prize was the inventor of dynamite, won Nobel, a Swedish entrepreneur. So he invented dynamite, and then he invented the Peace Prize. And since the guy who blew himself up in the Tesla with the fireworks was using the technology of Nobel, I'm surprised that Biden didn't figure on giving this poor guy some kind of freedom award.
Yeah, no, you know what? He just forgot about that part, Tom.
He might have. He might be on the errata, the supplementary list that will come out.
Right. Yeah. Right. No. And I got to ask you this, Tom. Though, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, when it comes to Liz Cheney, George Soros, why do you feel as though that he gave them the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
Well, Soros is somebody who was a Jew who collaborated with the Nazis. He turned Jews into the Nazis so they could be put in death camps. That has to be the greatest hypocrisy in all the world. So that's what's, you know, going on. Jimmy Carter created chaos in the Middle East and he got the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, this is the saying that drives everything I think. Everything in life is exactly the opposite of what it seems.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Tom, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week. Thank you. And just so you guys, in case you wanted to take part, because, of course, I want to make sure you stay on top of the poll question of the day. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge a certification of the election? That is on WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Please take part in that poll. We'll be talking about that all day today. But, you know, it is very interesting that he gave this medal out to individuals like George Soros who— You know, they called President Trump, a Nazi for how many years now? I guess for what? At least six. Yet when you look at George Soros and his history and his resume, You could say, in fact, that he could be considered a Nazi, as Tom pointed out. Interesting take. Interesting take. All right, let's see. I've got George in Baltimore. George, were you down in D.C. on January 6th?
Chris, I love Kim, I love you, but guess what? You mispronounced me. I'm garbage now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please be respectful of my new name.
I am sorry.
Listen, Terrell is confused as usual, but he sits there all weekend and stews and can't wait to call in on Monday and let it rip. Black Lives Matter and Antifa are two separate groups.
Yeah.
They're both communist terrorist, domestic terrorist groups out to do harm to the country, and I believe that they're protesting the wrong party if they're against Republicans, because Democrats run our whole country from top to bottom. Everything that's run in our country is Democrats, you name it. Anyway, I would like to institute a new rule, since we have been listening to the Terrells and Theodores for years, if not decades, and every week coming in talking, you could be talking about cherry pie, and in one sentence, Terrell will tie it back to Trump stole all the cherries, so we can't make it anymore. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's almost bordering on mental illness. Here's the new rule. I'm going to call it the Theodore Terrell rule, the TNT rule. From now on, for the next 4 years, with our new administration and Trump in for his last term, he's not a dictator, he's not staying in there for another 100 years, you must call in and tell us what you like about the Democrats that have ruined your city and are now ruining your county. Theodore Parkville, Owings Mills, I was out there for the Freedom Fest. Democrats are destroying the county. So let's hear what you like about Democrats rather than, we already know you hate Trump. We don't need to hear that every week. Joe, if you're listening, Leonard, just tell us what it is you love about Democrats, because we surely do not know. They're raising your taxes. They're unleashing countless criminals into your neighborhoods, illegal aliens everywhere taking jobs. So let us know. There's the TNT rule. It starts today.
Well, George, I like that rule. And you know what? The next time I talk to any of those guys, I will ask them that. That's a great question. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. Have a great week.
All right. I'll see you.
Thank you. Look, I mean, we can even say Owings Mills has changed completely. I would say in the last, 5 years? Completely. I guess, you know what? We should ask Terrell about that. There's no way that he has not noticed. There's no way in the world. The crime, the violence, there's now homicides, non-fatal shootings. Owings Mills is so different. The carjackings, the armed carjackings. Yeah, it is. It's different. It's different, all right. Again, do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? 68% say yes. 32% say no. Go to WCBO.com and take part in that poll. We will keep up on that, but we want to make sure that we move on because we've got a lot to talk about. Really quickly, I did tell you that I wanted to just run down the list of things that Open Society is involved in here in the state of Maryland. In case you didn't know, Open Society, that is the foundation which was founded by George Soros and his son, Alex Soros, okay? Now, they have funded many Democrats to run for office, including many of the district attorneys or state's attorneys that we have here in the state of Maryland, including former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby. She was funded by Open Society and George Soros when she first made her run way back when. We know for a fact that those that they support with Open Society Foundation are those that do not believe in the family structure. They do not believe that criminals should be held accountable. They don't believe that some of these juveniles should be held accountable because they believe that they are too young for some reason. I would not be surprised if Vincent Schiraldi, the secretary of DJS, had some kind of connection with Open Society Foundation. Would not be surprised at all because he has the same ideology. But real quick, I did go through the list from Open Society Foundations. And on their website, you can see that they've had their hands in Baltimore. When it comes to the Baltimore Abortion Fund, they donated $50,000 in 2023. Baltimore Action Legal Team, they donated $250,000 in 2023. Again, this is Open Society Foundations. Baltimore Beat Incorporated, that is media here in the Baltimore region, $200,000, 2023. The Baltimore Civic Fund, 2023, they donated $300,000. $200,000. The Baltimore Harm Reduction Coalition, in 2023, they donated $200,000. And Baltimore Safe Haven, we've talked about them before because they're the ones that work with the trans community in Baltimore, and they donated to them $150,000. Now, the Civic Fund, that's the one I wanted to pay attention to. Yeah, $300,000 in 2023. Just so you know, the Baltimore Civic Fund, if you go to the description, it is to enable the Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs to support the Baltimore Immigrant Community Fund to provide resources to build safe and welcoming communities for immigrants and refugees in Baltimore. Again, they donated $300,000 to the Baltimore Civic Fund in 2023 alone. So you do have a situation where George Soros has his hands on some things here in Baltimore. I know some people like to call the show and say that this is all very mythical when we talk about George Soros, but it's not. And they are clearly gearing up to support illegal immigrants, especially as President Trump takes office. So we're going to see how all this plays out. We know that many of the Democrats here in the state want it to be a sanctuary city. Obviously, it should not be. And Tom Homan, Stephen Miller with America First Legal, they've already made it very known. Do not stand in the way of illegal immigrant deportations. And if you do, they're going to fight back. And they're going to fight back hard. So we'll see what happens. But I can guarantee you Open Society Foundations is not going to walk away quietly when it comes to deporting some of these criminal legal aliens that are here in the state of Maryland. We'll keep our eyes on that. All right, coming up next, we got some updates coming out of New Orleans because of the terrorist attack. We also have some updates when it comes to the Las Vegas Hotel Cybertruck explosion. And then, of course, the big story of the day, Maryland property owners are bracing for increases. Tax assessments are going up. And Eastern Shore, believe it or not, will see some of the biggest increases here in the state of Maryland. We're going to talk about this because nearly 700,000 people will see an increase across the state and even more. So we're going to talk about all that and more coming up next. All right. Happy snowy Monday. Again, if you don't have to be on the roads, do not be on the roads. Mayor Brendan Scott actually put a post out saying, yes, if you can, please stay home. Look, we agree on something. Look at that. The Baltimore mayor and I agree. You don't have to be on the road. Stay home. Enjoy the day off if you can. If you can. Over the weekend, I had a meme that I posted. It says, imagine stealing 30% of everyone's money and being $36 trillion in debt. Now, I don't write these things. I don't make them. I like when people put watermarks on them so we know exactly who to credit with some of this stuff. But I don't understand. Some of these memes go out, and I don't know if people are just cutting off the names. But some of these are so good, I wish I could give credit to the person that came up with them. But it's like, dude, you got to put your name on it. Maybe they want to be anonymous. Maybe they don't want anybody to know who they are. All right, we got some updates coming out of New Orleans. And we talked a lot last week about the barriers that were used in New Orleans and on Bourbon Street. And as one of the texters pointed out to me, the truck that this terrorist rented, very fast, obviously very large, the F-150 Lightning. He rented that, obviously, purposely. But apparently this guy had been casing the joint, as some might say, for quite some time. He apparently had the Meta glasses. I know it sounds crazy, but Meta is actually, you know, same people that own Facebook and Instagram, Mark Zuckerberg. They have these glasses where they are hands-free. Obviously, you just put them on and they can record, or they can even do like a live stream while you're wearing them. So apparently, this terrorist attacker, Mr. Jabbar, he had gone to Bourbon Street weeks in advance and used his Meta glasses to pick up all of the interaction and all the different corners, and obviously to learn more about the area and the region. And I thought it was very interesting because no one seemed to notice any of this. We get back, we'll get into that. Judge Jeanine Pirro, the way that she was describing some of the things she saw in regards to the barriers and the barricades. But I just think it was very interesting because he had gone back and forth to Bourbon Street multiple times, even that day. And we talked about this last week. He had coolers where he had these IEDs. Now, we have found out that the terrorist, he was killed before he was able to detonate those bombs. So apparently he was going to do it by remote. And I think one of the texters, Marty, I think you pointed it out. You said that he most likely wanted to hurt the first responders. And I agree with that. And it looks like that was the same assessment from the FBI as well. I don't know if you saw that. But he had a remote to detonate those bombs. I guess he didn't imagine at that point getting out of the truck and having an entire shootout with the police before actually detonating the bombs. And so that was part of the plan, was to do much more damage as people were coming to see those victims as they were lying there after they were mowed down by the truck in which he used. So anybody that would arrive at the scene, whether it's family, friends, you know, that realized that their loved one had been hit by that truck, it sounded to me that he was just going to have these bombs go off in these coolers so everybody that, you know, that ran up to see what was going on would have been hit by these IEDs. He planned to do a heck of a lot more damage. And the fact that the police actually engaged with him and had the shootout saved many lives. Saved many lives. This is why I love when police officers don't hesitate. Now, of course, I've never been to the police academy. I can't tell you how they're trained. I love the fact that we do have officers that call in and let us know what, you know, what happens to some of these trainings. But at the same time, I'm so thankful that the police did react. Because remember, with the truck, they started shooting out the back window, which forced him to get out of the truck. And that's how the shootout started, because he could no longer sit in the truck because police officers were already firing upon it. Again, thank you to all of our first responders. Without you, I don't know what we would do. But coming up next, we're going to get into some sound here from Judge Jeanine Pirro on Fox News. She was talking about the police chief and these barriers, the barricades, and I agree with her 100%. All right, happy Monday to all of you. You know, some of you usually, I think, listen to the show at work or in your car. And today, you might actually be at home today because of the weather. Hopefully, if you are on the road, you're driving safely. And I would think by now, the roads are probably looking a lot better. I would think. Here it is at 10:35. I would think so. Don't forget, we're going to have LaToya Cagola. She's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Remember, she was with us on Friday. And some great news here. She, believe it or not, she actually won that seat in District 31. There was a vacant seat. She was on the show on Friday to talk about it, talk about what she was going to do, what's in office. I was happy to be there and to watch it all go down. And as I said, there were, you know, three candidates total. I think all three of them were great candidates. But it was so great to see LaToya win that seat. She's been fighting so hard. Has a heck of a resume, and, you know, I get to call her a friend. So she's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Because what does that mean now? Where does she go from here? Obviously, January 8th, I mean, it's the first day of work. And she's just now won this seat, so she's got to get started quickly. You know, when it comes to staffing, that's what I've been thinking about. You know, she's going to have a chief of staff. She's going to have so many people within her office. And they've got to be very knowledgeable and ready to go. So we'll ask her about all those things coming up at 11 o'clock. We were talking about the latest updates out of New Orleans. We found out that the terrorist, Mr. Jabbar, that mowed 14 people down with his truck, with a rented truck, we found out that he was wearing Meta glasses. And so those glasses were actually recording. We are told that they were recording during the attack. Now, we haven't seen any footage of that. That is what we are told. But we were told also that he had gone to Bourbon Street many times beforehand to kind of check out the scene to figure out exactly how he was going to carry out the attack. And as I noted last week, he was dressed rather nicely, even when he was placing the IEDs, the bombs, across around Bourbon Street in those coolers. And so nobody really paid him any mind because, I mean, he just literally looked like some regular guy. He wasn't moving erratically. There was nothing, you know, different, I'm sure, about his behavior and demeanor that would cause anyone to pay attention to him in any way. He was just nonchalantly walking down the street with this cooler. I mean, it was really, I've looked at it a couple of times myself. I wouldn't have looked twice at him. I would have never looked twice at him. And it's not even, like, you know, peculiar or suspicious to see somebody on Bourbon Street with a cooler. So, I mean, he had this obviously very planned out. It was extremely premeditated. He won't stand trial, of course, because he was killed in that shootout with police. I did not see whether or not those two police officers were hit. I didn't see whether or not they have been able to recover and have been released to the hospital as of yet. We were hearing from the police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick. That was the day of the attack. And she said that those two officers were in stable condition at that time. So I'm hoping that they have gone home to their families by now. And we did note that the attacker planned to detonate those bombs as people were arriving to check out the scene for what he did as he mowed people over. 14 people total were killed that he ran over on Bourbon Street. And thank goodness that the police took action immediately, so he was not able to detonate those bombs. He had them on remote. And so we're told there were at least three of them. Now, Judge Jeanine Pirro was talking about something that really bothered me as we discussed this last week, and that was the barriers and the barricades that were used. She has the details. Take a listen to Judge Jeanine Pirro. She was on Fox News just last week.
Superintendent of police in New Orleans had no idea that they had these particular
barriers.
And she said she didn't know anything about it. And the guy whose company created these barriers is quoted as saying that his company has been trying to get in touch with the New Orleans Police Department because they don't know, they're not deploying these barriers correctly, and no one's getting back to him. Okay, so the barriers that the superintendent of police knew nothing about, they just found them, but they don't know how to use them. Now, I want to talk about Ann Kirkpatrick for a minute or two. Ann Kirkpatrick, who's the superintendent of police, is the one who said that, you know, she didn't know anything about the fact that the department has had these barriers since 2017. And I say to myself, why wouldn't someone say before New Year's Eve, all right, guys, what assets do we have to put in place for New Year's Eve? She didn't even ask that question. But most importantly, she wants to make sure that we're not here to place blame. Why? Because they're all at fault. Ann Kirkpatrick, who was let go from the Oakland Police Department, has served in many other police departments, Tennessee, Chicago, and New Orleans. Okay, this is a woman who needs to be fired. I'm sorry. People died because of her ineptitude, and in addition to that, she's arrogant about it. Why is she doing an individual press conference? Remember, the first one was a cluster mess, all right? And now she's going out on her own. Anyone who'll talk to her, she talks to them. So she said, I had no idea we had these barriers, and I want to talk about the fact that yesterday we talked about the bollards. Bottom line with the bollards, I looked up the contract. All right, the contract for the bollards was signed in November 18th of 2024. You were really expecting those to be ready by New Year's Eve? No, you were only preparing for the Super Bowl. You didn't give a damn about New Year's Eve because the bollards were not expected to be delivered until early February.
That's so why they had the yellow ones in storage.
It's storage, but she didn't know about it, so they didn't deploy them. This is ineptitude at the highest levels, and her arrogance on top of her ineptitude makes her a candidate for being fired. I think she's DEI hire.
Ooh, that was a brutal takedown there by Judge Jeanine Pirro. The male voice that you heard, I think that was Tyrus, right? That was Tyrus at Fox News. So this is what we were talking about before, and I noted the very next day when we started seeing all the pictures and the videos coming out of this attack, there were so many areas where they used, like, these orange cones or these little, you know, this, like, little plastic. I mean, the whole thing was bizarre. And then even in some of the street alleyways, they were putting police cruisers there. But as so many people noted, it's like, you know, even those that called this show said, yeah, usually in those situations, you might place, you know, whether it's a fire engine or something else that is much bigger, maybe a dump truck, something like that there. Not usually a police cruiser. And I asked, you know, luckily we had an officer call the show, and he said, you know, you never know what you're going to do in that moment. But I asked, even when the truck barreled past the police cruiser, why did the officer jump out of the cruiser to watch the truck run people over? I don't understand that. He obviously didn't get on his radio because he wasn't talking. He was watching it happen. He wasn't on his radio. He jumped out of his cruiser, didn't try to chase him down. Just got out of the truck and watched it all happen. Again, you don't know what you're going to do in that situation. But see, that's why I wouldn't sign up to be a police officer. Because I don't think I'm one of those people that could jump into action and say, oh, gosh, let me you know, shoot the tires out. Let me do something. I might have been somebody that would stood there and been like, oh, my gosh, and totally in shock and watching. Like this officer obviously was. If that's the case, then I don't want you to be a police officer. I'm not trying to be mean. But if you're going to react in this situation similar to how I would react, this is probably not the job for you. He didn't do anything. Now, Brian, the producer, I would think even you would pull out your gun and try to shoot out the tires. Yeah, you look like that kind of guy. But I mean, I didn't understand any of that. Well, anyways, I agree with Judge Jeanine Pirro. I think Ann Kirkpatrick needs to go. She's also, we noted earlier, a lot older than I think anyone would expect a police chief to be. I was very confused by some of the comments she made after the attack. She was like, hey, go about your day. We're going to try to solve this. You know, the whole thing was bizarre to me. And I agree with Judge Jeanine Pirro. I mean, it does kind of feel like a DEI hire. It's just, you know, she was, you know, above her skis on that one. But we'll see what happens. I did note, you know, I wonder if they just recycle terrible leaders. Because Police Commissioner Harrison, remember, he came to Baltimore from New Orleans. And they were saying that this Ann Kirkpatrick, she came from Oakland. And, I mean, there, what a nightmare over there, too. What's going on? You're like, they just keep failing upwards. It's so bizarre. I don't know how they keep doing it. Democrat cities, I don't know what your thought process is. I don't know if you owe people favors and you end up in these situations, but you gotta hire better. You really do. All right, I also have an update here from Matt Livelsberg. He is the Green Beret that killed himself. That's still, you know, out for speculation. In front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas as he blew up a Cybertruck in which he was sitting in that he also rented. Now, a lot of people pointed out that he's a Green Beret with a heck of a resume, and it didn't make sense that he was trying to blow up a Cybertruck from within, because most people know that a Cybertruck, you know, it's not going to have the same effect when you're detonating a bomb in a Cybertruck because of the way that it is built, right? It had the way that it is supposed to perform in general. So I do have some audio here. Sean Ryan, he has a show, and I guess the best way to explain it is, you know, he's been talking a lot about Matt Livelsberger. But not only that, apparently Sean Ryan, the show host, he's like a podcaster. He's got a video podcast. Matt Livelsberger, or Livelsberg, excuse me, he reached out to him before the Cybertruck explosion. But it wasn't, he didn't just reach out to this podcaster, Sean Ryan. He also reached out to other people. And so Sean Ryan had a chance to actually sit down and interview one of the guys that he reached out to as well. Take a listen to this.
I think what they were trying to do is basically make this out to be, oh, this is why this happened. He got bad news that that's not his child. And so that's why he did it. But with all the other context, especially with the 2019 incident, which was obviously a cover-up.
He messaged me on Signal. So I went on there to look myself to see if it changed. And sure enough, it had. On January 1st, after the bombing, after he was dead, his safety number changed. That's all he sent me. He said initial contact, and I gave a thumbs up, and his safety number changed at the bottom.
Look at that.
That's after he's dead.
These are very, very serious allegations.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like UN-level opening an investigation type stuff into alleged war crimes.
All right. And that's Sean Ryan. So a little background about him. He's a former Navy SEAL CIA contractor, and he hosts his video podcast. And it's really popular. He has over a million followers on X alone, but it's really popular. If you heard there, the gentleman that he was interviewing said that he received a message. His name is Sam Shumate. He's an analyst. He received a message from, allegedly, this Matthew Livelsberg. And he said that if you heard him talking about Signal, it's one of those apps like Telegram or WhatsApp. So you could text people through this app and it doesn't go through, you know, you won't see it on your phone bill. Right. It's like, you know, these little cryptic apps that you can talk to people. Well, he is saying, allegedly, this guy, you know, Sam is saying that Matthew Livelsberg, he contacted him on Signal, and apparently his safety number changed on that Signal app after the explosion. So after he would have committed suicide, which is very bizarre, because to change that safety number, Matt Livelsberg, whoever had his phone, would have had to go into his phone or even that Signal app and change that safety number. But this guy Sam said it's really creepy because that would have been after he was killed. Now, there are more people making notes because there was video that was released from a business right across the street from that Las Vegas hotel that showed Matt Livelsberg, looking around right before the explosion. If you recall, the FBI told us that he shot himself in the head and that he was killed before that bomb detonated. Now, was it an actual bomb? We still don't have all the details on that. Some people are saying it was something like fireworks, which, of course, this guy's a Green Beret. And, of course, if he really wanted to get his hands on an actual bomb, he could, in fact, do so. So some people are wondering why even this type of explosion. I don't know. I will say when it comes to what happened in New Orleans versus what happens and what happened in Vegas, the Vegas situation, confusing as hell. Confusing as hell. I can't figure out a motive. I can't figure out why this Green Beret would do this. There were many people that called Sean Ryan's podcast and said that they knew him personally and that he was suffering from PTSD. You know, well, hopefully we'll get, you know, the full story on this. But Sean Ryan and Sam Shumate, who you heard in that interview, they are saying that they do not believe that the New Orleans attack nor the Cybertruck was connected at all. They believe it's a coincidence that they both rented cars from Turo, and they believe it's a coincidence that they both spent some time at Fort Bragg at some point in time in their military career, which I can see being a coincidence. There's a lot of people that have stayed at Fort Bragg, okay? A lot of people. I mean, if you've been deployed, you most likely went to Fort Bragg at some point in time. And so I really hate those people online right now saying, oh, well, they were both at Fort Bragg, and that's just really suspicious. Yeah, a lot of people, some of your favorite members of Congress were stationed at Fort Bragg, including one of my favorite, Congressman Corey Mills. That's not a thing, okay? It's not a thing. Take that out of the equation. If you want to think about, like, the rental car company, Turo, okay, possibly. But the whole thing at Fort Bragg, I think that's bizarre. And of course, I'm really mad about it because, of course, that's like what Candace Owens is now saying. We got to investigate Fort Bragg. Really? Really, Candace? Shut up. Like, I hate people that pretend to know about things and then they like go off on these tangents. Like, you have no idea. Anyways, there are a lot of people still wanting to weigh in about what happened in New Orleans. I've got Ray in Brooklyn. Ray, you wanted to weigh in about the cops in New Orleans?
Yeah, Kim. If that guy officer was in his car, if it would have been me, I would have pulled my car forward to stop him instead of jumping out afterwards. He should have stopped him. He would have never made it that far.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Now, I will say the truck in the video, the truck went by the police cruiser pretty quickly. But I couldn't understand why the cop jumped out and then just watched it. That's the part that
He could have stopped that truck in time. Believe me, because the truck just jumped it while the people were still there. And so the people cleared, then he proceeded. That cop could have stopped that from going back there.
Trust me.
He could have avoided that. And the guy in L.A., the FBI showed his tattoos.
Oh, in Las Vegas?
Yeah, in Las Vegas. I mean, how did they see his tattoos if he was burnt that bad?
Well, so I think they have footage of him. Even before the explosion, I think they were trying to piece together where he was. So I don't know exactly, but I mean, all these are great questions. We're going to have to wait and see, I guess, on this one. But Ray, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great week. Stay safe out there.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up this conversation. I know got some people that still want to weigh in, got text messages coming in. So we'll talk about it coming up next. All right. Happy Monday, very snowy Monday here in the Baltimore region. Be safe out there. Be very careful. Of course, we're talking about the updates out of New Orleans, the updates out of Las Vegas, and the Cybertruck explosion. Like I said, that one's a real head-scratcher for me. Real head-scratcher, but I think some more people that knew him personally are coming forward and talking about what he might have been going through in those couple of days there around New Year's Eve. So hopefully we'll find out more about where his head was at during all of that. I did want to get to Tom in Catonsville. Tom, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah, good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
You know, this issue that happened down in New Orleans, it just confirms that the people that are in charge of protecting us, they either can't because they're inept and incompetent, or they won't because of their progressive beliefs. And I just think that we just need to remember this and kind of, I'm not saying don't live our lives, but we really need to think through where we go and what we do, because I don't even go into Baltimore City anymore because I can't count on any backup if anything goes down.
Yeah.
If I hear a mayor say we need to give rioters room to destroy, I'm not going. If I hear a mayor say you can't arrest your way out of a crime spike, I'm not going. If anybody says defund the police, I'm not going. They are supposed to protect us, but until things change, I know we're real happy about the election, but all is not good yet. And we just need to just act accordingly and not put ourselves in a position. If you can't get any backup, if you're on your own during a riot, that's not a good place to be. So I'm just sorry they can't protect us, but they can't. Not yet.
Yeah. No, Tom, I think a lot of people agree with you. Stay safe out there. I hope you have a great week.
Thanks.
Thank you. And a lot of people feel that same way. Gosh, I know tons of people that no longer go down to Baltimore City because it does not feel safe, even though they'll tell you, oh, homicide numbers are down. Non-fatal shooting numbers are down. Well, crime is still up. Armed carjackings, way up. And it is. It's a scary thought. Speaking of Democrats not protecting us, did you know that 158 Democrats voted against deporting illegals convicted of sexual assault? And did you know that here in the state of Maryland, all of the Democrats that we have, except for District 1, of course, that is Republican Andy Harris, but all other seven districts out of the eight, they all voted against it as well. So Kwasi Fume, Dutch Rupersberger, all those people, just so you know, they voted against deporting illegals convicted of sexual assault, which we have a problem with here in the state of Maryland. So that just tells you kind of where their mind is. Right, a lot of this is political. They don't care. A text here from Craig. He says, Kim, talk about failing upwards. The former Johnny O fired DEI hire police chief is now a top executive at the U.S. Marshals Service. I could not believe when I heard about her, and even worse, is the director of the Marshals. I believe it, Craig. I believe it. And so it's bizarre because they all just get, like, they get rotated through the system, but they still continue to be hired, even though they do a pitiful job in another state. Even this whole thing with Vincent Schiraldi, right? How is he the DJS secretary? We were told by those in D.C., we were told by those in New York, that he was awful at his job. And then they hire him here in Maryland to oversee the juveniles while we have a juvenile crime crisis and nobody seems to do anything about it. Again, as of today and many other days in the past, I don't know how you are a Democrat. I have friends that are Democrats. I don't know how you square this with your values or where you align in life or how you feel about public safety. There's no way that you can be a Democrat and really want public safety, good education, or any of these things, because they literally do the opposite of that. Now, you can say that Trump's an awful guy, you don't like him, but, I mean, at that point, at least become an independent. Being a Democrat these days is a bit embarrassing, don't you think? I think so. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to LaToya Cagola. She was on Friday. And there was a vacancy in District 31. She's now been nominated by the Anne Arundel County GOP Central Committee. We'll talk about it next.
Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Happy Monday. If you're just joining us, I got to ask you, where the heck have you been? We've had great conversation thus far. It is January 6th. Yeah, there's a lot going on in regards. So we're going to hopefully hear from President Trump about what he plans to do, if he plans to pardon those that were nonviolent, that are still behind bars on January 6th. And also, the certifying of the election. That was a big poll question of the day. And it's on WCBM.com right now, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? So far, let me see, I'm going to refresh it here so we can get some numbers. If you want to take part in that poll, please go ahead and do so. So far, 67% of you say yes, 33% say no. Again, I was part of the 33%, but that's the question. Do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? Go to WCBM.com and take part in that poll. On Friday, we were joined by a guest. Her name is LaToya Cagola, And LaToya, I know because of she helped me out in 2020 on my campaign. She's helped out many people with their campaigns. She's been very involved with the Republican Party. And she's somebody that has an amazing resume who I always thought was going to go to office. But as you know, here in the state of Maryland, it can be very difficult. Well, she was on the show on Friday. We're talking about the vacant seat in District 31. I'm very happy to have LaToya on the phone right now. Good morning, LaToya. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Good morning. It is a great morning.
Yes, it is. So I was there on Friday, and I was excited to see. I mean, you know, there were three candidates going for the seat, including yourself. And yeah. I noted that all three of you were great candidates. I guess that just shows you how great we have people or how many people we have in the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
That are great in this state. So it was a tough competition. But if you could just let our audience know how this all played out.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that, you know, we have amazing candidates. We have an amazing platform. Our values align with most sensible people in the state of Maryland. Most people agree with us. You know, however, it's hard for us to really get the stage, the microphone, to be able to spread our message. And it's hard to compete with the Democrats who are the, you know, majority. So, you know, we had three people, and I was so surprised, excited, and, you know, it just brought me to tears when the committee made the vote and the decision that I am the person that will be representing District 31 in the House of Delegates. So I am just so excited for this opportunity and to fight for conservative values and be the voice for, you know, the what I call the silent majority in Maryland.
Yeah, no, congratulations to you, LaToya. Well deserved.
So
well deserved. You know, I appreciate you because you know, just all the letters of support that you gathered coming into, you know, not just here, but you did, you know, a media blitz, like just letting people know exactly what you would do once in office. And here you are. You're going to office. It's it's January 6th. Now, of course, this still has to go through Governor Wes Moore. He has to sign off, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so he's got to sign off on it, and I bet he will. I don't think there's going to be any issues there. But then you're right to work on January 8th. Like how
that's
do you
right.
get this together so quickly? What does staffing look like?
Well, you know, the good thing is that I'm a small business owner, so I'm used to making quick decisions and, you know, wearing many hats. So I've been talking with all of the, pretty much most of the Republican senators, delegates. I need to shout them out. If any of you are listening, thank you so much for just taking the time this weekend to give me a crash course to, you know, let me know what I should expect, what immediate steps I should take. And I think that that's going to help the transition be a little smoother. Maybe there's some chaos, but not as much. So they've all, you know, really taken the time. I have a great chief of staff who was already in the office with Delegate Rachel Munoz. And I've known her for years. Our kids went to elementary school. They're in college now. But she has the work ethic, extremely intelligent, hardworking. I'm excited about working with her. And, yeah, so it's just been, you know, people feeding me information. And, you know, like I run my business, I'm putting things in place here to, you know, make sure that I'm ready to serve on Wednesday.
That's amazing. LaToya Cagolo, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you running. Do you have anything coming up that people should know about?
I do. I have a fundraiser tomorrow from 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's open to the public. I would love to have as many friends and new faces there. I've invited several of our members of the House of Delegates and Senate who will also be there. And it's going to be at Copper Creek Pub and Ale House. It's in Severna Park, Maryland.
Okay.
The exact location I don't have on me right now. But please come, Kim. I would love to have you. It was exciting when you walked in on Friday, and people were asking where you are. And when you walked in, we were all excited to have you. And it was amazing to give you a big old hug because I felt like this win was for us, for the good conservatives out there with the passion to serve the community. And, you know, I was just happy to share that moment with you. So thank you for being there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So tomorrow's a big fundraiser, 6 p.m. Where is it again?
It's at Copper Creek Pub and Ale House in Severna Park.
Perfect, perfect. And you know what? It's all those that now are going to be your constituents. I hope that they go and talk to you. I know you're going to host some town halls, and you're going to have where, you know, a lot of reach out, or outreach, I should say, there in Arundel County, which, you know, again, Republicans do it so well. And I do. I appreciate all of our delegates and state senators. And the fact that you're going to join a great group of people, LaToya, I'm so proud of you. And it's only up from here.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
I appreciate your support and the opportunity to, speak with you in the public.
Absolutely. LaToya, congratulations, and enjoy the day. But also get things in order. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I'm on it.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, LaToya.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. LaToya Cogolo, she was on the show on Friday pleading, making her case on why she should be the next delegate there in District 31, and she did a great job. Like she mentioned, I was there on Friday, and she did a great job. A great job. You would have been so proud. I know the Baltimore Banner was there to do a write-up. I don't know if they did a complete write-up. As I told you before, I canceled my subscription with them. But but I know that I did see them there, so they might have something on it. But wow, what a day that was. It was great because I drove down. You know, I was already reluctant. I don't like to leave the house, I told you, after 6 o'clock. And, of course, I have my daughter in tow. You know, and she's like, when are we going to eat dinner? You know, and it's like, all right, come on, man. Let's get going. You know how it is. So then we go in, and it was great. There were so many people there. It was a packed house. And Anne Arundel County Central Committee, GOP Central Committee, you did a great job, I think, fielding the questions. And it was so organized, so well done. Anne Arundel County, congratulations to you. And I think you picked a great person. So we'll continue to watch and see. I know a lot of people are going to Legislative Day in Annapolis. And I think I heard from Moms for Liberty, Kid Hart, and others asking if WCBM will be up there. I got to get with some people here. I would love to be up there. I mean, if we have a great Wi-Fi connection somewhere nice to sit where we can talk to many of the state senators and delegates, I think we should be up there for Legislative Day. So that is on my list, my to-do list. See if we can get up there. And then, of course, I do want to be in D.C., on January 20th, if I could. That'd be great, too, wouldn't it? All right. I do have lots to talk about. I know I've been rambling on. I see now that Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, he is now making an announcement. It looks like he is resigning as party leader. This is something we're going to talk about tomorrow. We will not talk about today, but they were already wondering if he was going to resign by Wednesday. Apparently, his party has not been very happy with him. And it looks like they weren't happy that he went to Mar-a-Lago to speak with Trump either. You could tell there was like some serious animosity there. So now he is he's announcing right now, watching it on Newsmax right now here live in the studio. He's announcing his resignation as the party leader. So again, Justin Trudeau, is it Trudeau or Trudeau? I guess you say Trudeau. Trudeau. You say Trudeau? That's not right. That's no. Trudeau, Trudeau. No. Right, the producer. Oh, my word. You guys, you have no idea how funny he is. All right, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. Also, I wanted to mention Speaker Johnson, he was confirmed in round one, a little bit of an extra inning, but he got it done. He is going to be the Speaker of the House. There were a lot of people, because Thomas Massey was still the no vote, right? And he could only lose that one vote. And we knew Thomas Massey wasn't going to change his mind. And so it took a little time. But they were able to get to come around. I believe Tom Emmer was one. You believe it or not, Chip Roy did not hold up the vote. He did vote on round one for Speaker Johnson. You had Congressman Andy Harris here out of Maryland. He also said that he was undecided as of last weekend. Or it was, I guess it was Thursday. Yeah, it was Wednesday or Thursday. He said he was undecided. Well, guess what? He voted for Speaker Johnson that very first round. He was not undecided at that time. So it was really Thomas Massey that decided to hold it all up and to be that vote, that no vote, and two others. And, you know, there were a lot of people complaining online. And I was one of the people because there was no political advantage to hold out and to have this go on and on and on. There really wasn't. Because if you were America First, right, if you were supporting President Trump's agenda, then you were going to confirm Speaker Johnson. Because he already said, he's got the votes. I don't want to be caught up in this. I want this to go. They have to certify the election on January 6th. I want us to just do this smoothly and let's go from here. But still, Thomas Massey was like, no, 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 I don't think he's the right guy. But he never had somebody to put up. So when they went to Thomas Massey to ask him who he was voting for, he said Tom Emmer. No, but nobody wanted Tom Emmer. Tom Emmer didn't want to be the speaker. So he didn't even have a plan. He just wanted to be this contrarian, as Newt Gingrich pointed out. I don't have respect for that. I really don't. If you have a reason, right? If you say, oh, well, the CR wasn't good, and I can tell you, Speaker Johnson, he's made some suspicious moves, right? But we have such a slim majority. I can't steal this whole, enough. Our slim majority has put us in a position we can't really do anything, okay? We can't do anything. Can we get the border closed? Yes, because there are Democrats that are going to vote to close the border. Can we do something in regards to DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency? Yes, there are Democrats that already said that they like the fact that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy is going to get down and dirty and roll up their sleeves and figure out how we can cut back spending. We can get these things done. The fact that we have such a slim majority, I just want people to understand, we don't really have a complete upper hand here, okay? And the vote on Friday, it was getting on my nerves a bit because you had Hakeem Jeffries, and I put this in my teaser on social media today. There was a time where Hakeem Jeffries and Mike Johnson had shared this conversation, and you could see that it was not tense, but Hakeem Jeffries was kind of smiling a bit. Mike Johnson was not smiling. But it was getting so close and so ridiculous, you wondered at that point if Hakeem Jeffries would have had a shot at being the speaker. The majority is that slim, and people were being funny. And I don't like funny people in a serious situation. And so Thomas Massie, he kept saying, he was actually tweeting at the time on X, formerly known as Twitter, like, ha, 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 I'm not voting yes. It, almost like, you know, it was like immature. It was childish. It was petty. And then Matt Gaetz, he had put out this post, which, you know, I'm not really happy with Matt right now either, but it is what it is. But Matt Gaetz puts out this post and he goes, look, this is going to get done in round one. Well, Thomas Massie goes to troll him on this post and he said, aha, this didn't age very well. That's what Thomas Massie said to Matt Gaetz, right? He was just joking with Matt because they're friends. But then, you know, he had to go back and correct himself because it was finally taken care of in round one. But the way that Thomas Massie said it, it was almost like, he wanted to create chaos. He wanted this to go to more rounds. He wanted this. I don't know. I think it makes us look, you know, just very disjointed. I don't like the whole situation. I really don't. If President Trump said, look, he's been hanging out with Trump. He's been hanging out with Elon and Vivek. He's been getting the rundown on what they plan to do on day one. I need the guy that knows what's going on day one. That's who I need there. I need the guy that is going to carry out what President Trump wants to do on day one. If that's not the person, get out of my way. We don't have a ton of time. We have a slim majority, and I don't have time for games. So I'm glad that they got it done. But if you follow me on social media, especially on X, you can tell I was not happy on Friday. I was not happy. Like, you know, why even give Democrats any of this? Like, you know, as I said, Hakeem Jeffries was like on the floor laughing and smiling. Like, you guys can't get it together. They're all together. Nobody wavered. They're all together. They get in line. They support their party 100%. They don't have this issue. It's just, you know, here in the Republican Party, you've got some people that want to be contrarians, some people that want to put on a show, get a little theater. For what? For a personal gain. There was no political upside for holding up this vote. None. Now, did people fundraise off of it? Yeah, we talked about this on Friday. Of course they did. And I guarantee you, Democrats raised a lot of money off of it. Off of us being disjointed. Ay, ay, ay. All right, coming up next, the big question of the day. I just want to make sure we had time to really discuss it. Property taxes are going up across the state of Maryland. This is a big deal. I want you to take down our phone number because I want you to weigh in. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Are you concerned about the rise in property taxes? Are you just fine with the increase? And the big question, because of this, would you consider moving out of Maryland? We'll discuss all that more coming up next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balanced care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balanced care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes the solution is as simple as removing wax from your ear canal. So call our main number at 410-944-3100, or you can visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, and hearing aids may be covered as well. So call our office at 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Now is the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements. With their New Year's savings, Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements with the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. Place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, that is 800-262-5483, and speak with a Rescue product consultant. Or shop online at res-q.com, that's res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today with the code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with the code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue.
You can listen to WCBM wherever you go, at home, at work, in the car, or at the gym. Take WCBM on vacation or on a walk, and don't miss a minute of your favorite shows live or on demand. Listen on AM 680, 99.9 FM in Harford County, WCBM.com, and the WCBM mobile app. Or tell Alexa, Siri, or Google to play WCBM. Make the right choice. Talk Radio 680 WCBM at 99.9 FM in Harford County.
The fact that I know the song, I know all the words, as that just tells you about who I was in my younger days. I was silly. I was silly all the time. Took nothing seriously. I'm just joking. I was a class clown for a little bit, but not the entire time. By the time I got to high school, I wanted to play soccer so bad. Oh, man. One day we should have a show where we talk about just how I thought I was going to be the next Mia Hamm. But I was not good. I wasn't good at all. All right. We're going to talk about the big topic of the day. Shout out to Gary Collins at Fox 45. I wanted to talk about this at 10 o'clock, but obviously we got carried away with so much more that was going on. Maryland property owners are bracing for increases, and I want to get right into this audio because we've got a lot to talk about, and I want you to weigh in on this. This is huge, okay? So nearly 700,000 people will see an increase in property taxes, and when I say increase, I mean a large increase, not 2%, not 3%. Take a listen.
I was shocked. I was angry, and who wouldn't be, especially when you have to open five of them at a time.
Many Maryland property owners are starting the year concerned about their tax reassessment notices from the state. Gary Collins with the Spotlight on Maryland team has the story.
The Maryland Department of Assessments and Taxation announced on the first of the year a double-digit property value reassessment increase that has some property owners thinking it may be time to move again just to make ends meet.
Home ownership and property investment, a typical American dream, has one Maryland property owner calling it a nightmare.
My personal residence is over the three-year assessment is going up 31.3%. The others, I have another rental property that's going up 24%, another one that's going up 35.3%.
Chris Carper, a previous longtime resident of Baltimore City, told Spotlight on Maryland that he moved to the Eastern Shore because he could no longer afford the cost of living.
The new assessment's going to put me back closer to where I was when I was in Baltimore City. And that's that along with the crime rate were two of the driving factors that caused us to move.
The Maryland Department of Assessments and Taxation announced on New Year's Day that nearly 700,000 newly reassessed properties will rise an average of 20% in taxable value across the state in 2025. Property owners like Harper don't see how they're going to be able to pay.
I'm 68 years old. I'd like to retire, but the fact is you get these higher costs, and not only in your everyday life with grocery and things, but for me to retire is not the prudent thing right now.
One of the things about your real property or your real estate is that, sure, the value goes up, but you can't take that value to the grocery store and exchange it for, you know, a chuck roast. you can't take it to the gas station and get a gallon of gas.
Tyrone Keyes, a Maryland real estate and financial services professional, said ballooning state and government deficits may be to blame for rapidly rising taxable assessments.
Maryland has not really realized any wage growth over the past 4 years when you compare it to inflation. The key here is that the governments, local, state, and federal, they need to get control of spending.
Meanwhile, back on the Eastern Shore, Harper said his family may have to make hard choices just to pay their tax bills. What does this mean for you and your family?
I live 2 miles from Selbyville, Delaware, and I've been thinking about selling my 5 properties here in Maryland and moving to Delaware and not have to deal with this kind of issue.
Each county charges different property tax rates that the state collects to fund many aspects of local government, like schools and services. While the Eastern Shore and Western Maryland's reassessed properties will see the largest increase in taxable values, Baltimore County leads the immediate metro area by an average of 22.6% above the state's average. We've reached out to county leaders across the region to see how they expect to address residents' concerns like Harper's. We will bring you an update once we hear back.
Oh, my, oh, my. That was Gary Collins with Fox 45. I need you to weigh in on this. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. A texter writes in, the decision to retire outside of Maryland was made a long time ago. I don't blame you. Remember we were talking about how people were migrating across the United States. And we said 31,000 people actually moved out of Maryland in the past year, whereas you saw an increase in Delaware. Perhaps this might be why. What say you on this? Please call in and let me know about the rise in property taxes. This is going to affect everyone. All right, a lot going on here in the state of Maryland. Not just the snow. Property taxes are increasing for many Maryland residents. My question to you, are you concerned about the rise in property taxes? Are you just fine with the increase? Some people might not care. Some people might say, you know what, it is 2025 and it is what it is. And are you considering moving out of Maryland? That's the other question that I have for you. Look, this is going to affect many different people in many different ways. And the way I see this, this is going to be on top of the rise in taxes and fees that Governor Westmore and many are going to put in place this coming session. Because to pay for some of this agenda that they already have lined out, they're going to have to raise taxes. They're going to have to put some fees on some items. The problem is we're still all dealing with inflation. I don't know about you guys, but I went shopping over the weekend because obviously we're preparing for the snowstorm. And going to the grocery store, not buying much of anything. And it's just myself and my daughter, who's 8 years old. We don't eat a ton. I still spent between, I think it was $150 and $170. Okay, I would have never spent this amount of money ever on groceries. And it's still ridiculous. And so my question to you is, how do you feel about all these increases? I got Dennis in Harford County. Dennis, you wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, Kim. First of all, I want to thank you for everything you do. I'm sorry you didn't win your race.
Thank you.
I listen to you every day, and I just I'm retired. I worked for Baltimore County Public Schools for 32 years. I'm retired, and I live in Harford County, and I just can't understand how you can keep taxing people. This a home is your shelter. This is where you live. This is your only safe haven.
Yeah.
Why does these property taxes have to go through the roof like they're going? It's just ridiculous. I mean, every time you turn around, we're raising this, we're raising that. And the other thing I want to say is you would never convince me in a million years that this state has a deficit when you have all this revenue coming into the state every day. These people are lying to the public so they can get their pet projects through, like this Red Line and all this Kerwin and all this garbage these people are trying to put through here. So now you're going to penalize me because I own a home.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I said to my wife this morning, I was born in Maryland in 1956. I was born down in Remington, below Hamden. And I came from a hard-working Italian family. We worked really hard through the years to move out to where I'm at now. And I'm, like I said, I'm retired. And you know, I'm living on a fixed income now, Social Security and a pension from Baltimore County.
Right.
And you keep raising this stuff. I mean, you're talking 35%. If it's 35% from what I'm hearing, my taxes are almost $4,000 a year now. What's it going to be, close to $5,000? to live in your own home, that you have a deed that says the property is yours.
Right. Yeah. No, Dennis, that's what it's sounding like. I mean, look, and I'm pretty sure, you know, like you said, you're on a fixed income. That's the house that you most likely thought would be your forever home.
Right.
Could you consider moving? Is that even an option?
I would definitely like to get out of the state if this continues. I mean, you got a bunch of people down there that shouldn't even be in office. I don't even know how the heck they even got there.
Yeah.
Especially this guy we got now. It's Mr. Stolen Valor, as far as I'm concerned, Wes Moore. He's a liar. He is nothing but another Obama. We don't need no more Obamas.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been there, done that, got a T-shirt.
Been there, done that. We're facing the results of that now.
Yeah.
To Joe Biden, another crook. I mean, these people, I tell you, I'm hoping that Donald John Trump prosecutes these people for what they've done to him and what they've done to this country. I mean, everything that this clown Biden and all, and Harris and all of them have done, just the one thing with the open border is a treasonous act.
Yeah. A lot of people agree with that, Dennis.
I really hope and pray that Donald John Trump does something that locks these people up in prison. Some of them need to be executed for what they've done to this country.
Dennis, I appreciate your call. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, I mean, you have a good day. That's my feelings.
Yeah, no, trust me. You're not alone, Dennis. You're not alone. Have a great week. Stay safe out there. A lot of people probably feel like Dennis does, and like you heard him there. And thank you for your service, Baltimore County public school teacher. That's like being a first responder at this point. In my book. But, you know, as you heard there from Dennis, this is his forever home there in Harford County. You know, you don't think about moving again once you've retired, you know, unless you've already considered moving to whether it's South Carolina, Florida, you know, where people like to retire and live the rest of their days and enjoy their grandchildren or great-grandchildren. You, I mean, that's what they're thinking about. You're not thinking about this. Now, Tyrone Keyes, he was in that interview, or I should say that segment with Gary Collins at Fox 45, a 20-year real estate agent, a real estate financial service professional with Soldiers of Finance. And he said, you know, one of the things about your real property or your real estate is that, sure, the value goes up, but you can't take that value to the grocery store and exchange it for a Chuck Roast. You can't take it to get a gallon of gasoline. And again, that was Tyrone Keyes. This is a black guy, mind you, that is basically saying, look, we got to cut back on spending. This is how I know. There are many people, no matter which side of the aisle they sit on, they understand what's going on here. You have to be somebody that is like die hard, vote blue no matter who to continue this charade. Because that's what this is. If you're ignoring this and you're saying, oh, well, you know, it's because of COVID. You know, I hear this stuff all the time. You're ignoring what's really going on here. If you're ignoring this big picture, you know who I love to call in, whether it's like, you know, our friend Leonard from Silver Spring. Like, I would love for somebody on the other side to explain to me how any of this makes any sense and how you feel about this. Because I don't see it. And I believe Leonard also has rental property. Leonard, if you're listening, I would love for you to call in. I would go to your phone call immediately. You've got to be reeling from this. And this was just announced on New Year's Day. You think that they didn't know that this was coming down the pipeline? Of course they knew. They kept it very quiet during the election cycle, didn't they? I got Dan in Emmitsburg. Dan, what say you on this?
Hey, Kim. Yeah, I'm ready to hop across the border to PA. I'm married. I just got engaged in December.
Oh, congratulations.
And, thank you. And she's from Pennsylvania. And I'm just ready to sell my place here and just hop over the border. I was going to hopefully keep this place as a somewhere to rent to college students down at Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. But
I don't know. If everything keeps cranking up like this, I might just sell it, cut my losses, and move out of state. I don't know how I could. We're planning everything in Pennsylvania because I looked at Maryland venues for a wedding, and it ain't even worth the tax. It just doesn't make any sense. We're gonna buy all of our alcohol in Delaware. We're gonna drive all the way out there just for that. And I don't want to give any commerce to Maryland. She wanted to go down to Baltimore for an Orioles game last summer, and I said, no, we ain't going down there. I don't want to get stabbed or shot.
Yeah, well, that's what it comes down to.
I'm jumping ship. I've lived in Maryland. I was born in Maryland, lived in Maryland most of my life, moved back about 5 years ago, and I don't want to live here anymore.
No, look, Dan, I don't blame you. I guess, you know, even when you're talking about leaving that house there for college kids to rent, I mean, what would the rent look like with this rise in property taxes?
Exactly. I was hoping to give them a break.
Like, right.
You know, and you know, make it reasonable for like four or five college kids living here. But it's like, what, it's going to be my mortgage is going up each year, and I'm almost paying as much as I used to pay for my one-bedroom apartment. It's like, yeah. I don't even know why I should even stay here anymore. I want to leave.
And that's sad because Emmitsburg is so nice. I've been down there a few times. Dan, I hope you have a safe week, and thank you for weighing in. I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. You too. And it's sad to think about. I mean, who likes to move? Nobody likes to move. I know I don't. I don't like to move. I don't like it at all. You know, but this is what people are thinking about, especially those on fixed income. That's a tough decision. Moving today. Do you know how much it is to rent moving trucks right now? Even moving today is expensive. God forbid you have somebody else do it. I got Vicki in Brooklyn Park. Vicki, you wanted to weigh in?
I did, Kim. This is my first time calling, and I'm a relatively new listener. And I just connect with everything you represent. I wish we could have made it, my daughters and I, Friday night to down to Early Heights.
Oh, nice.
We could not get there because we want to know. I want you to run for governor for the state of Maryland. But, you know, we need to get on the stick about who we're going to get to run. But anyway,
yeah.
I am born and raised in Brooklyn Park. I lived in Brooklyn for 20 years. I retired. I'm 60. I just turned 68. And my sister has gone to Delaware, moved 4 years ago. A lot of my friends have gone to Delaware. Maryland used to be the land of pleasant living. That slogan no longer applies to Maryland. Delaware is looking more attractive. Did you know if you're 65 and over in Delaware, you know, you do not, and that is your primary residence, you do not pay property taxes.
Right.
Along with a nice quality of life. And again, like the caller just said, my daughters nor I care to go into Baltimore anymore. We used to, when my kids were little, we would go to the aquarium on Friday nights after 5. It's just a whole different time. We choose to patronize county venues and locations. But no, Delaware is looking very attractive to me. I don't want to move because my daughters are here. But I really wonder, and I'm not a motive, but is there an ulterior motive to squash out the middle class? And both of my daughters are single, have modest homes. They're lucky they bought when they did. Is it a plot to destroy and kill the middle class? Because we don't qualify for any of the free handouts, and the rich people could care less because that's not an issue for them.
Right.
So the middle class is getting hammered, and we're getting saturated, and they're taking more and more from us. So, again, I did not vote for the governor. I knew what he would do, and he's following through on everything I knew he would do. And that's all I want to say. I really hope that the Republican Party, because I saw the Green Party has already nominated somebody to run for governor, and I worry about that splitting the vote in Maryland, but that's all I have to say, Kim.
No, Vicki, thank you so much for calling in. I'm glad you're a first-time caller.
I am, and I do. I like to hear the comments from your listeners, and I like to hear your comments, and my youngest daughter lives in Violetville. When she turned 18, she was a Republican. She had to convert to Democrat, though, to get. She'll never get have a say in anything in Baltimore City.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, thank you for all you do, and you might be a. I think you could run for governor, Kim.
Well,
you got our vote.
Well, Vicki, I appreciate that. Thank you. Stay safe out there. And I appreciate the vote of confidence. You know, I went back through my text messages because I know Marty sent a text earlier. And he said, Kim, you were 100% correct about Dr. Jeff Wolford. He needs to start now. And hopefully the MDGOP will just stay out of the way. This is what I was talking about last week, Vicki, in case you missed it. Dr. Jeff Wolford is the guy. He didn't steal his valor. Okay, he's the guy. He's the guy that can make it happen. He's fiscally conservative. He is a conservative in general. He worked alongside Governor Hogan's administration, and of course, he ran with Kelly Schultz. But he's not establishment by any stretch of the imagination. He lives in Carroll County, excuse me, born and raised there. You know, in the Air Force, pilot. I mean, the guy, and then also a doctor. With a PhD. The guy can win this, but I agree with you, Marty. He has to start now, but I don't even know if he wants to do it, right? This is a conversation we're going to have with Dr. Wolford, but, you know, if we're thinking about somebody that can beat Wes Moore, it's him. It really, truly is. Marty also commented, you know, that he wished that they would have got behind Neil Parrott the way that they got behind Governor Hogan. You would be both. You would be both. Neil Parrott could have won that seat. Had he had the real support. And I was disappointed when I saw how much support Governor Hogan was receiving, even after we found out that he was down 11 points. At that point in time, we should have been all in with Neil Parrott. Why were we still pushing the Hogan train? He was going to lose. It was obvious. You can't come back from 11 points, you know, less than 60 days out. It's a done deal. It's over. But they still continue to go that route. I don't know why the decisions were made. Maybe, you know what, we'll have somebody on from the Maryland GOP and they can explain to us what was going on behind the scenes. I got Tom in Parkville. Tom, you wanted to weigh in on the property taxes?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Kim. I voted for you both times.
Hi. Thank you.
Hey, I used to pay $1,456 every 6 months property taxes. They went up $1,000. $2,000 total for a year.
Wow.
In 2024.
Wow.
And I live in a room.
Well, Tom, what do you think this is going to mean to the state? Because I can just imagine lots of people leaving. I mean, can we afford to have that kind of decline in the population?
I'll tell you what, my grandchildren live in Maryland. That's why my wife doesn't want to move. I'd move in a New York minute.
Yeah, I would too if I could. I would.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day. Be careful out there in Parkville. Hopefully the snow plows, a lot of that is getting a bit better since I came into work. Scott in Westminster said, Kim, I can retire in the next 3 years, and South Carolina is looking good. And now Scott, now he's in Westminster. Think about that. I mean, that's somewhere you would think that people would go retire, right? Carroll County. There's certain areas where you're kind of like in Maryland. It's still really beautiful and nice. And you wouldn't mind living there, nice and quiet. But what they're doing on the state level is making it very difficult, right? Now, there were a bunch of comments on this story. Again, this is Spotlight Maryland. Gary Collins had the story on Fox 45. You've got so many comments on this. People are upset. One commenter said, Wes Moore is irresponsible Democrat on a spending spree, gives away the surplus and creates a deficit, pretty incompetent. Mr. Smiley, please go away. This is what I'm talking about, and I think this is also what you were talking about, Marty. You're going to have to start now, right? And Vicki said the Green Party's already started about, you know, putting a candidate forward for governor. It can be done. He's going to raise taxes and fees so high. People are going to, they're going to be over it. Now, for him, you know, I noticed on a national level, people aren't really paying attention to what he's doing here on the state level. For him, he's going to still try to play, you know, the national politics arena, and he's going to get away with it because a lot of people didn't, you know, really look at to see what's going on here. Here in the state of Maryland, I think if we play our cards correctly, I think that he could be a one-term governor. But we got to answer it. We got to answer the call, and we got to start today where we come back. All right, we're talking about the reassessments. They're coming. Property taxes are going up. I guess one of the texters said it's like taxing without actually taxing. That makes sense. The big question of the day on WCVM.com, which was brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. The question was, do you think Democrats will try to challenge the certification of the election? I just wanted to give you the results here. 67% of you said yes, 33% no. So pretty steady at those numbers, even though there are more people taking part in the poll. If you want to, it'll be up all day today, WCBM.com. Also, check out some of the things that we have coming up, whether it's like the State of the Union event and other events. And then, of course, the on-air schedule. You can see The Morning Drive, Rob Carson Show, my show, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, all that good stuff. And our podcasts are there. So if you ever miss a show, they're all right there. You can listen to them. I did want to talk about, because I mentioned earlier in the show, there's a state, it's a blue state, of course, that is throwing out basically the requirements for being a teacher. And their basic requirements. Take a listen.
New Jersey's largest teachers union wants to get rid of a basic skills test requirement for aspiring educators. It posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, quote, "We need you to take action," exclamation point. Last year, New Jersey eliminated the EDTPA, a barrier to becoming a certified teacher. Now it's time to eliminate another barrier, the basic skills test for teachers. Urge Governor Murphy to sign Senate Bill 1553 right away. The union claims this will help with the teacher shortage, but others say it just adds more fuel to the trend of students falling behind.
All right. And as you heard there, that blue state is New Jersey. Yes. Now, I will say New Jersey is a little more purple. We talked about this. That's why you have Scott Pressler and other people going to register voters up there now. Billy Prempe, who was with my PAC Red Renaissance for years, still is. He only lost by 1 point this last election cycle. So if you can imagine here in the midterms in 2026, you got less voter turnout. He'll win that seat. He'll end up on Capitol Hill. I am sure of it. But, you know, beyond that, hearing that they're going to end basic reading and writing tests for teachers. And again, this is pushed by the teachers union. They do not care whether or not these kids are educated properly. They don't care. They care about the money, and they care about, you know, being, like, inclusive and diverse and all this other stupid stuff. That's the problem. When you're looking at how lackadaisical we are on educating our future here, right, our children, everybody else, you can even see it coming down. This is like a train crash. You know what's going to happen. You can see it coming. So just, like, continue to watch. Because we're continuing to lower the standard here. I said this before when I was a vendor at Baltimore City Public Schools. Now, my English isn't the best. I don't have the best vocabulary. I dropped out of college. You guys know that. I told you that. But I was going to different schools, and I was going on a tour with Dr. Thornton, Dr. Thompson. You know, this is when I was there, 2014. We were going to different schools because there were some kids out of the elementary schools that were going in and out of, you know, detentional centers even at that time. Well, I tell you what. We went to this one elementary school in West Baltimore, and we met with the principal, and she came out of the office with, like, these knee-high patent leather boots and the shortest little dress you could possibly imagine. It was long sleeve because it was a little chilly outside. But if she would have bent over, you would have saw everything because she wasn't a small woman. She was, you know, had some hips on her. I thought, wait a minute. These are fifth graders that literally come up to her thigh area as she's standing. And I'm sitting here, you can tell Dr. Thornton, they were embarrassed. I said, there's no way that you guys don't have a dress code. There's no way that this is the principal and how she chooses to dress here. And nobody said anything to her. I hope they pulled her aside later on because that was ridiculous. And I tell you now, there are many teachers that are speaking Ebonics as they're trying to teach kids today in these classrooms. What's going to happen in the future? We have a bunch of kids that can't read, they can't write, they can't do basic math, and many of them can't even speak English. Oh, lordy, lordy. I guess it's all time for us to go to a red state, huh? It's about that time. All right, it's also about that time for Rob Carson to come up next. Again, be safe out there. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. Brian, as always, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to you guys at 9 a.m. Please be safe out there. Don't forget to shovel. Help out your neighbors. Always a great thing to do. Talk to you tomorrow.